This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up later in the show, with Diane Rehm retiring from public radio, a new show starts next year. We'll have a conversation with Joshua Johnson, who will be hosting 1A starting January 2nd. But first, Design Lab is an education program offered by the Architectural Foundation of Cincinnati and the Cincinnati chapter of the American Institute of Architects. During the 16-week program, local professional volunteers and educators guide K-12 students through a real-world design problem to help them build their critical thinking and communication skills. And joining us to talk about Design Lab and this year's Bridge Challenge are store designer with the Kroger Company, Rebecca Schaefer, and from Architectural Foundation of Cincinnati, Executive Director Steve Sendelbeck and Education Director Kristen Lubbers. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Rebecca, Kristen, and Steve, thank you all for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Good to see everybody. So how long has Design Lab been around, and how did the idea for this come into being?
Well, Design Lab was actually started by the Architectural Foundation back in 1996, I believe it was. Michael Schuster, who's a local architect, was president of the foundation board at the time, and it was kind of his idea. He wanted to find a way to teach children about architecture because he recognized in his own children's education that there was no exposure whatsoever. And he wanted to expose them to a way to think about how to design as opposed to the more linear processes of the scientific method. And he started the program and ran it for about 5 years with his generosity out of his own office for the most part, but through the Architectural Foundation. And then realized that it had grown too much for him to manage, and AIA Cincinnati took over the program and ran it for 13 years very successfully. And they grew the program to about 1,000 participants, but they also were doing it with volunteer labor to run the program. And we all kind of realized that they kind of reached their maximum potential, so the Architectural Foundation decided to take it back over, and we hired an executive director. So now we weren't relying just on volunteer labor to make it happen, but we actually had someone who could run the program effectively from day to day. And in the last 3 years that we've had the program, we've taken it from 1,000 participants to over 2,300 this year.
So it's growing in popularity.
Yes, it is.
Kristen, what makes the program unique?
I think what makes it the most unique is the presence of our volunteers. So we recruit volunteers that help the teachers implement the program. And it's not a volunteer coming in one time and talking to the students. They're coming in for the entire 4 months, and it goes from kind of being a volunteer to being more of a mentor to the students. It's a really great relationship that they form.
And Rebecca, it's interesting. You actually were part of this back in what, third grade?
Yeah, when I was 8.
Okay.
So I really connected just now when you said a mentor, because I still remember my architect's name. It was Charlie, and just he really challenged me to look around and see the built environment in a different way and not take it for granted and start asking questions about why is there a window here? Why do I walk through here? Why do I sit here? And it really changes the way you look at the world.
So now you do design work for Kroger.
Correct.
Yeah. What's the role of a designer in a retail environment?
It's everything, because without a designer, how do you know what you're supposed to look at? We present the product to you. We control how you move through the store, which things you see first, where you see the checkout, how you enter, your overall experience of the entire store, the entire retail environment.
Mm-hmm. And did a lot of what you learned in Design Lab, has that carried over into your career?
I kind of think of it as the spark. So I learned about scale and that I still use scale, but it was more about the opening of the idea and getting really motivated to pursue it and develop the expertise.
So how many kids have gone through this program, Stephen, and gone on to careers in architecture, design, or planning?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not sure we have those statistics. And because it was run by AFC, then AIA Cincinnati, and now back to AFC, we can probably tell you more about what we've controlled in the last 3 years, but the documentation I don't think is there. We've met several people, and for example, I taught at Miami University for a semester in, I guess it was 2014, and one of my students had been through the Design Lab program, and she was a senior that year in an interior design studio focused on workplace design. And you could really, I didn't know she'd been through the program, but there was something different about the way Maddie approached things. She had a more sophisticated outlook on things than some of the other students did. And now she's a professional working here in town and one of our volunteers. So there are a number of stories. I just don't think we have had the resources to track them and document them all. But Rebecca is one of the clear success stories who is continuing to work for us or with us as a volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, what kind of reaction do you get from the kids who go through this program?
At first, I think they're a little nervous. If you see them at the beginning of the program, they're all a little bit apprehensive. And then you kind of see as the program unfolds, they are building confidence. And at the end, they're just so immensely proud of themselves and the work that they've done. And you can just see a shift in how they're thinking about themselves and what they're capable of.
Yeah, and if I can tag on to that. So one of my coworkers volunteered for the program last year, and she would come into the office afterwards and be all excited. And we were like, what happened today? And she was like, well, one of my kids, every time I show up, he jumps out of his desk and yells, yes, she's here.
What are some of the things that the kids have told you, though, the students have told you, though, Kristen?
Well, I have some quotes from students for at the end of the program. We make them all tell us what they've learned. And some of the things that they learn is all about architecture, and they've learned about scale, and they've learned about how to build a model. But some of the kids say stuff like, I'm going to be a doctor, but I know a little bit more about how I'm going to talk to my patients now. One of the kids said, well, if I don't make it to the NFL, I'll become an architect so I can show young people what I learned. So there are all of these stories where kids have all these ideas of what they're going to be, but they know how to relate this. And like that kid, well, if that doesn't work out, I have a backup plan now.
You know, and it's not universal. I mean, students react to things differently. Mm-hmm. And like we say, we appeal to the students who are more right-brained than left-brained. More creative in nature, who aren't finding gratification out of the traditional educational process. And I volunteered with the program years ago, and I know you'd go into the classroom and you'd just see there would be a certain point in time when the kids would light up. You'd know that they started to get something, that they really started getting excited about it. And it was incredibly gratifying to be on the other end of that and seeing the excitement in their eyes.
How valuable are these skills, Steve? I mean, these are things that translate well into college and on into the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. Design thinking is a big issue right now in the business community. P&G, for example, has embraced the concepts of design thinking as part of how to solve the problems that they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. There's a program at Stanford University that basically teaches design thinking at the college level. And it's really that creative process. It's how you look at a problem, how you evaluate and understand what the problem is that you're going to solve, how you research how other people have solved it, and then you start planning options. You try one thing, you try a different thing, and these things come together, and you have to make judgments. You have to evaluate one versus another, and it kind of teaches students that it's okay, that you can try something and fail, and you can learn from that failure. And what we feel is so great is that this design thinking methodology, which isn't typically taught in schools, now becomes part of the way these students react. And the ones who gravitate toward that more creative side of the profession are benefiting from it, even when they get to college. When you think about, you know, I'm an architect and I went to the College of Design, Architecture, and Art and Planning at UC. And it's a shocking experience for a high school student to go into the first year of an architectural program. It's so different from what you experience in high school. But these kids have an edge. They understand this process, and it doesn't – I think they get into that program, and they acclimate to it very quickly.
Well, plus you've helped them develop communication skills.
Exactly.
And presentation skills that are
exactly
going to be valuable.
Exactly.
Throughout their careers.
And going back to the idea of it being so universal, one thing we do pride ourselves on is the fact that this program is multidisciplinary, so teachers of all subjects can use it. And it's originally it was just art students that were utilizing it. Now we have math teachers, history teachers. So you can take kids that are excelling in math and give them a creative outlet, or you can help kids that's not their favorite subject. Now you're bringing this creative outlet into their class. And it really helps bring kids in their classrooms just get excited about the subject that they're in.
And as far as the volunteers go, that flexibility allows us to have, what do we have, like 50 volunteers this year? about. So those people are coming from construction, architecture, design, and they can bring their personal passion to the students, and that really comes through because they're teaching a curriculum, but it's not so scripted that you can't adapt it to what you do. So I can come in and say, who shops at Kroger? Have you ever thought about why the produce is where the produce is? And that really connects with the students because it's not just a worksheet. It's something that they experience every day, and it's bringing it to the life for them and letting them ask the question and answer the questions of why things are the way they are.
So this is turning things into real life practical applications that maybe the students aren't being exposed to, and then it clicks with them. Okay, this makes sense now.
Right.
Now I understand why I need to learn math a little bit better, why I need to learn this aspect of things a little bit better. So, okay. Tell me about the project that's going on for this year. I believe it deals with bridges.
Yeah, so their challenge this year is to build a bridge. It's going to depend on if they want to do the bridge break or a model of a bridge, which one they're doing. So the kids that are doing the bridge break, it is more engineering and math-based, and they're trying to build the strongest bridge. But the bridge models, they can be a little bit more creative with. So the bridge models are really trying to push their creativity in what they think of as a bridge and what problems bridges can solve. So we really want them to look at the world around them and what problems does this world have, and how can I build something that fixes these problems?
Yeah. Bridges seem appropriate for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
We show them examples of some creative solutions as part of the introduction to the program. And you can see online, you can see photos of bridges that have been built in other countries where they've taken a man-made thing like a highway that's disrupted the natural environment, and they built a bridge to bridge nature back together so that the wildlife can migrate across that highway without getting killed. But it creates a continuity in the landscape. We've seen places in France where there's a bridge that actually takes a river and carries boat traffic across a valley. So it connects to waterways and allows that boat traffic to carry through. So we're challenging these kids to think very creatively about what a bridge can be, not just that it carries people and cars from one place to another.
I met with my teacher just last week, and we sat down and then went in and met with the kids. And we agreed that we were going to challenge them to design a bridge that does what they automatically think, carries people or cars or something from one side to the other, but also has another function. So they have to think, does it have shops on it? Is it a hotel? Does it have a giant observational tower at the top? Really push your understanding of what a bridge is, because that's ultimately what architects and designers do, is solve problems.
And Kristen, you mentioned the bridge break. What's the bridge break?
So all of the students in grades 7 through 12th grade can choose to do the bridge break instead of the model. And they build bridges out of the balsa wood. And then they'll be bringing it to UC's campus, and they'll be testing it with giant buckets of sand. So they just keep filling it up with sand until the bridge will break. So they test it to breaking, and whoever's can carry the most weight in that bucket will win the bridge break.
And hence that's why it's called the bridge break.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is much safer than what we used to do in college, which is you'd have to build a bridge, a 6-foot-long bridge, and walk across it.
You had to walk over it, yeah.
And when it broke, you went down with it.
Bet you made sure that was a really good bridge.
Yeah.
We will continue our conversation about Design Lab, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to discuss Design Lab and this year's Bridge Challenge, our store designer with the Kroger Company, Rebecca Schaefer, and from the Architectural Foundation of Cincinnati, Executive Director Steve Sindelbeck, and Education Director Kristen Lubbers. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Kristen, so this runs K through 12. So I'm wondering, how do you adapt the project for all the different ages that are involved in this?
That's a really great question, and this year is the first year that we've really separated out the curriculum. So, in fact, K through 2 won't be doing the bridge. They are going to be doing a more community-focused curriculum that we've created just for them. So we've kind of separated that age group out and streamlined the process for them. And then with the 7th through 12th graders having the option of doing the bridge break and doing something a little bit more advanced.
Now, do you always do bridges? Is that always the project, or is it different things each year?
So there's going to be a different theme every year.
Okay.
And there always has been.
Okay. What have been some of the past projects?
Last year was learning spaces, and that was cool because you got to see what kids, how they wanted to learn and how they thought, like, what space can I learn best in, which was really exciting. And the year before that, we did dwelling. So they didn't only, some of them did their own houses, but one kid did a house for A.J. Johnson or one of the Johnsons, I forget. Just different historical characters. So they were looking at how this person would want to live.
And we've done, I know in the past we did gateways, for example, as a project, because it was something that they could design on their own school campus to create a gateway onto the campus. And it was something, you know, they could get their hands around. Even last year with two of the schools, I believe, they were so impressed with some of the concepts the students came up with that they were actually looking at how they were going to build them physically on their campuses.
So there's the possibility some of these bridge designs might actually have some potential.
A possibility.
Could be. Do you hear back from parents of the kids who say that the kids are now looking at houses and structures in a different way than they used to because of this?
I don't know if I've heard back from any parents. This is my first year in this position, so maybe our past education director would be able to speak to that more. I don't know if you've heard back.
The only feedback mechanism we really have is through the teacher. The parents, where we get the feedback from them is at the end of the four-month period, the schools select the best projects that from each one of their classes, and they're displayed at the public library downtown for a week-long design fair. And that's when we get the parents more involved. They come down with the kids who've had the most successful projects, obviously. And we have juries that review the projects in each age group and give out four different prizes depending on what classification they think the project best fits. And there's a formal award ceremony at the end where we give out plaques and goodie bags with the things that we've gotten donated from some of the local arts companies just to reinforce the fact that this is a great success for them. That's when you get the feedback from the parents about how much they appreciate and how they feel it's really impacted their kids watching how they reacted to the project.
How do the volunteers react? How rewarding is it for them to be involved in this?
I mean, I think it keeps you encouraged about what you do, because when you do it professionally every single day, you can get really mired down in it. You know, I'm opening this drawing and I'm drawing this wall detail. I'm doing this little part of this building. And you're so used to looking at the world as a designer, as a creative person, that it becomes, you take it for granted sometimes. And when you go back into the classroom and you're exposing these ideas to the students, you see them light up, you see them get excited. It gets you excited, too, about the ideas. So that's something that I really value now as a volunteer.
And there's a guilty secret about education, which is the educator quite frequently gets more out of it than the student does. Because sometimes when you get these young eyes looking at something, they come up with things and see things differently than you can see at your age. And sometimes you feel guilty, like you've got more out of it than they have. But, in reality, it's a very rewarding process. And we see a lot of volunteers who come back year after year and support the program.
And you said you have what about 50 volunteers?
We have 82 this year.
82 volunteers.
Wow.
so how many schools, Kristen, are involved in this?
Oh, I don't have the number of schools. We have 56 different educators working, probably in about 40 different schools.
Okay. And what, it's about 2,000 students? Is that what?
Yeah, we're at 2,350 right now for the year.
513-419-7100. And Ted in Oxford joins us now. Hi, Ted.
Hi. I work up at Miami University in the Department of Architecture and Interior Design. And I just wanted to say that this design lab program just sounds like a really fantastic endeavor. And I'm glad somebody's doing this, because design thinking skills are, I think, crucial. They help students develop important life skills and thinking skills that can be used in anything from accounting to zoology. So I think I'll look up the program myself and volunteer down the line somewhere.
Great.
Kristen is going, yay. Thank you, Ted. We really appreciate it.
And Ted, we do have some volunteers from Miami already as part of the program.
We do, yes, both staff and students.
When you were saying it's, Ted, that it's a useful way to think, as a volunteer going into the classroom, that's one of the – obviously, it's really exciting to see the kids build these models and have their ideas come to life. But for me as a volunteer in the classroom, one of the other big and exciting challenges is changing the way they think from a traditional school education, find the problem, find the solution, find the right answer, to just keep trying new things, keep experimenting, find multiple different answers, and then pick the best one from that, which – is just so important in architecture.
Rebecca, how important is the teamwork aspect of this whole program?
Well, I've never built a grocery store by myself. So we like to emphasize teamwork above all in design, because you need so many people to realize an idea, to draw an idea, to build an idea. And we ask the students to work in groups of 2, 3, 4 students together, because part of the challenge is design a bridge, but another part is, how do you design a bridge with other students and think with them, solve problems with them? How do you build a model with them? You know, choose different roles. Who's going to be cutting? Who's going to be gluing? Learn to listen and talk as well. And those are really important when you get out in the real world after school.
And you don't think about this, and it's not the typical situation, but we have had physically disabled students who were able to participate as part of a team, even though they couldn't have done the project themselves. So they get the benefit of the experience, even though they're not hindered by their physical limitations.
And the presentation skills that we were talking about earlier, I mean, those are really crucial.
They're very crucial. And one of the things that we've implemented in our program is, when we do the design fair, we ask professionals to come down and let the students formally present their designs to the professionals and then ask the professionals to give them feedback. So it takes them to another level. It's not just, you know, what they're doing in the classroom. Now they're talking to a complete stranger, typically, about their ideas. And it's amazing to see the energy and confidence that some of these children have developed in working on this program.
That's a good point, Kristen. You ever have somebody come in, maybe they're a little on the shy side, but you just see them blossom and become a little more outgoing because of this?
Absolutely. Yeah, and when they're doing the interviews, you'll see them come in with their suits, and they've put on the best outfit they own, and they get that chance to talk to the professional, and they just take every second, and you know they've practiced it, and they know what they're gonna say, and it's awesome to see that kind of confidence in kids that may not have had it before.
It's important too, though, that this is not restricted in any way to the schools that participate. We have many inner city schools that are part of this process, and it's part of what I think, again, makes this program really meaningful, is these children wouldn't ordinarily be exposed to this as a possibility in life. And now we're opening up their eyes. We're allowing them to see a possibility they may not have considered. So it's not...
That's how I got here, yeah.
Not everyone comes in a suit. Sometimes they're coming in and they're jeans.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But they're there because they've accomplished something and they're very proud of it.
What are some of the other skills that this helps kids to build? Better communication skills, obviously, better presentation skills. What are some of the other benefits of this?
Well, the collaborative skills are really important. And while I know in education today a lot of it is team-based, this is a different type of process, because you've got to really work together to divide up tasks to come bring that ultimate model into one solution.
And it's long-term. It's not like you're a team for the day or a team for the class period. You're a team for 4 months, and you're going to build this model, and you're going to present it. And it really helps you, you know, learn to work past your small issues.
But it also goes, you know, when we challenge them with a particular project type, they're learning about what that project's about. So, it, you know, when they had learning spaces as a challenge, they had to think creatively about what that meant. So they're learning about the learning process, not just about designing a space to support learning.
Mm-hmm. Kristen, what's a class like? What is a typical day? Or does it vary? Are they hands-on? Are they a lot of classroom teaching? What are these like?
There is no typical day in design lab.
Okay.
And we have all age groups, every school type. So it's going to depend on the classroom, the teacher, the volunteer, the students that are in the class. There are so many variables. Rebecca, do you want to talk about what your...
What was yours, Rebecca? Well, my favorite experience, like teaching experience that Charlie had for me, I now teach to the kids I volunteer with. So I've been volunteering for 4 years, and every year this is like my favorite day. So I go in and have them measure their classroom. But the way I have them measure their classroom is because scale is about, it's about numbers, but it's also about relating your body to space. So you can do this with 5-year-olds, you can do this with 18-year-olds. You have them stick their arms out because their wingspan is the same as their height. And Charlie had us rotate end to end across the room and measure how big the room was in relation to our bodies. You know, it's like 3.5 Rebecca's long. And then you measure yourself and you go, okay, so that's, right, you know, 18, 22 feet or whatever. And then you can start drawing the room to scale. But it started with a physical exercise that's about your body. So architecture is about relating your body to space. So the first thing you're doing is you're sticking your arms out, flipping end to end, measuring your classroom with your body, and then you're taking it and making it more concrete, more mathematical, and ultimately you have a drawing on graph paper that is to scale, that's, you know, 1/4 inch equals 1 foot, but it started with the ultimate idea of architecture, which is this is my body performing in space. This is how space works with my body.
And you have a whole room full of kids doing this at the same time? Or?
Well, it depends on how big the classroom is or the space. You can adapt. Like all of Design Lab, you can adapt it to your circumstances.
But there are exercises like that that are built into the Bridge Project. Like
right. So every lesson is hands-on. It's just at the beginning you're going to be learning about scale like Rebecca was talking about. You're going to be learning about different kinds of drawings. But it's all hands-on. And then when they get to the model part, it's completely hands-on. There's no... All hands are off, and they are on their own.
But there's actually an exercise that teaches them what a suspension, how a suspension bridge works. And it's with them holding hands and leaning in different directions, and they start to realize how much stronger it is when things are triangulated and versus what they can do individually. And these types of physical interactions are very eye-opening to these students.
So, Steve, how successful has Design Lab been, and how do you measure that success? What are you looking for?
Well, we obviously look to see the popularity of the program and the way it's been growing, because we don't go out and formally market this. It's basically word of mouth. And it's teachers talking to their friends and saying, you ought to try this. This is an interesting program. It's really, our students have really reacted to it. So that's probably our first measure. It's the formal process, and Kristen can talk more about this, is that we do surveys, pre- and post-assessment surveys of the students. And why don't you share that?
Yeah, so we have a 5-question survey that just looks at the main points of what we want them to learn in each week leading up to the models. But those assessments tell us more about what the kids learned than anything else, which last year I think we had about a 38% increase on average.
Thanks, everybody, for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Store designer with the Kroger Company, Rebecca Schaefer, and from the Architectural Foundation of Cincinnati, Executive Director Steve Sendelbeck, and Education Director Kristen Lubbers. Coming up, we'll have a conversation with the host of the new show, 1A. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.